If you know that, I said to the first audience this morning that right after 8 o'clock, if somebody was running for office and they said they were going to stop the time change, I wouldn't ask if they're a Democrat or Republican or Independent or Libertarian. I would vote for them. But now I'm changing that a little bit since we're in second service. we're fine. So but some of you might be thinking you're in first service, but actually, you know, we lost an hour. So, you know, you're in second service now. That's why you've gone to Bible class already. So, okay, enough of that. This year, we as a congregation are focusing in on this aspect of discipleship, allowing the wonderful Word of God and the sweet Spirit of God to help us to grow and to deepen our understanding of discipleship and also to deepen our own personal discipleship. This quarter, we've been focusing on the anatomy of discipleship in regard to the mind of Christ. Those thoughts, that heart that we prepare, we are followers of His Word. And as a result of that, we glean the knowledge of God Almighty. We've been focusing in Sunday morning services in Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. The Sermon on the Mount is really the Magna Carta of the Christian faith. It is the parameters of what it means to be a child of God, a disciple of Jesus. These three short chapters, if you will, really chronicle what it's like to walk in the shadow, in the path of God Almighty. So much can be said, but yet nothing greater is said than in these three chapters that Jesus gives here, as recorded by our brother Matthew in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. There's something in here for all of us, something in here that tends to want us to cling more closely to God and to be appreciative of all that He does and has done and yet will do for us. And so this morning, one of the greatest of all of these Beatitudes, the one that to me is one of the most demanding, is this one that we'll focus in on this morning. Jesus says in verse number 8 of Matthew 5, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This passage, this short verse, if you will, challenges us in so many ways that it'll take a little time to develop the thought. I'm told that when we talk about just that introduction, we call it the Beatitude, but this idea of being blessed. In some translations in the English, we have this word happy. So we read, "Happy are the pure in heart." But I'm reminded that the word happy has within it happenstance, that there's a possibility that it won't happen. I'm told that this word blessed comes from a Greek word that has the idea of some of the Greeks would use it in its female form to describe the Isle of Cyprus. If you look on your map, you see in the middle of the Mediterranean, there's this island that's all by itself, but it's the Isle of this wonderful community called Cyprus. I'm told that the Greeks felt that if you could just get to Cyprus, the weather is always about 75 degrees there. There's always a nice breeze coming across the Mediterranean. There's no conflict on Cyprus. On Cyprus, you have beachfront all around the isle. Just get to Cyprus. It's a state of being full of joy. Contentment. Now, everybody can appreciate this. I remember I shared with the first service that Brother Klein Payton, the original director of Sunset School of Preaching, he said that he was in one South American city, and a beautiful area, perfect temperature. And Klein said he was talking to one of the security guards, one of the police officers there. And he was talking to him, and he was standing there, and Klein said, walked up to him and said, hey, he said, this is a wonderful place you folk have down here. And the guy said, yeah. And Klein said, but the temperature is really nice, and you got beach, and it just, I got all kinds of fruit that you could eat. I mean, this is wonderful. The guy said, yeah. And Klein said, the weather's really nice. There's a nice breeze coming in. The guy said, yeah. And so Klein said, he asked me, he said, now, I'm detecting here some lack of satisfaction. What's going on? He said, I've been here all my life. And Klein said, okay. He said, he said, every day it's like this. It's 75 degrees. There's a nice breeze coming off the ocean. There's fruit in all the trees. He said, every day is just like this. He said, I'm tired of it. Oh, the blessedness of being on the Isle of Cyprus, having the nice weather, lack of conflict. Oh, it's joy. Can you see this island? Can you see the beauty of it? Do you feel the contentment living on the Isle of Cyprus? Blessed are the pure in heart. If you got the pure heart, you're on Cyprus. You're in a state of blessedness. If you have these other beatitudes, you're on Cyprus. You're blessed. It's a state. As long as you're on Cyprus, you're full of joy. You're full of contentment. That's the idea. That's the concept. But there's another word here, and that's the idea of purity. And it has the idea of being free from contaminants. It's a word, it's a Greek word, katharos, where we get our catharsis from, the idea of purging. I share with the first audience this morning, and I'll share again. The best illustration I can think of is I grew up on the south side of Chicago. Many of you might know that. But I remember as a young boy, as an adolescent, I remember going down to the Walgreens drugstore. We stayed in an apartment complex, my sister and her husband, and I walked down to the corner just to get some bubble gum or a candy bar or something. And when I walked in that store, one of the first times, as a little boy, I looked, and in the showcase, as soon as you walk in, there was the most beautiful gold diamond ring you have ever seen. It had a diamond in it that put the Hope diamond to shame. Did I mention it was gold? Oh, it was a nice, beautiful ring. I fell in love with that ring. And I made it a point that day that I'm going to get that ring. So, didn't have a job, and I did a little stuff around the house and whatnot while going to school. But every dime, every quarter, every dollar I could accumulate, I put it in this little container, saving up for that gold diamond ring, or maybe the diamond gold ring. As I was saving for weeks, I began to get a little nervous because I thought maybe there are other people on the south side of Chicago that appreciate fine jewelry. And so I began to be concerned that somebody else would buy my ring before I could accumulate all this money to get it. And finally, one day, I finally made it, had all my money. And so I went hurriedly down the street to the corner, went inside the Walgreens, and I asked the guy behind the counter, I want that ring. He said, you ready to get it, huh? I said, yes, sir. He said, you've been looking at it for a long time. I said, I know, sir. He said, I'm so glad that it didn't get sold. He said, me too. And so he said, you know what it costs? I said, yes, sir. So for this beautiful diamond gold ring, I reached in my pocket and pulled out my life savings up until then, it was $8.50. The most spectacular ring you have ever seen. And if you had walked close to me in Chicago, Illinois, and if you had asked me which way is downtown Chicago, I would have went that way. Maybe that's where I got the habit of rubbing my hair. You know, I just kind of, you know, check my glasses, you know. I'm not a big jewelry guy, but I tell you what, that diamond ring was just out of this world. Now, I hadn't preached this sermon those many years ago. I didn't understand the concept of purity. I was kind of surprised, to be honest, that this gold ring, I didn't realize gold kind of turned green. I did not realize that if you played baseball with a gold diamond ring, when you hit the ball to get on first base, you had a gold ring only. That hope diamond is gone. I have no hope. When we talk about the pure heart, all the impurities have been purged. They're gone. They're gone. It's cleansed. It's purged. It's purified. So this idea of a pure heart is one that has no hidden motives, no hidden agendas. Singleness of heart. No selfish patterns. Without hypocrisy. Jesus says that you're blessed if you have a heart like this. But this beatitude to me, my friends, is demanding. Because it takes, in the development of a pure heart, I believe it takes all of the beatitude that goes before a pure heart. If I'm going to develop a pure heart, then I must begin to look at the first few verses of this chapter. Blessed are the poor in spirit. If I'm going to develop a pure heart, then I want to make sure my spirit, my will, my purpose, my agenda is bankrupt. So I come to God. I don't bring 20%. I don't bring 10%. I don't have a good credit score to make requests of God to loan me at a certain rate. I have nothing. A bankrupt spirit. And God promises me he'll give me the kingdom. When I come to him, if I'm going to develop a pure heart, I must come mourning, sad, overwhelmed, paining in my heart because of sin and the degradation of this world and my own life. And God tells me he'll comfort me. I must come with this idea of power, my power, under control. Requisitioning every aspect of strength I have to bring it in captivity to Christ. And if I'm meek, like Moses, God says, I give you the earth. My appetite must not be about chicken, even if it's fried, or scrimps or shrimp, or steaks about that thick, medium well cooked and all in all. My desire must not be for those fine drinks that are made out of strawberries and all the other wonderful fruits to blend them together and put a little straw in there and a slice. No, that's not the drink I want. My craving must be for righteousness. I must hunger and thirst after righteousness. To develop this pure heart, must be merciful. Merciful. The same mercy that he gives me, I must now use it to give to others. Just like I ask for forgiveness, I'm quick to forgive. I'm on my way to the pure heart, developing it. And so the development of a pure heart is about this aspect of you and me allowing God to make us, to develop us, ultimately looking for that pure heart. Because I want to see God. I want to see God. Developing pure heart. There is something about the developmental process. We this past Friday evening, the singles invited me to speak at their first Friday, and we talked about this idea of patience. In fact, the name of the presentation was Give Me Patience Now. But I think after the presentation and visiting our brother James over there, and I think we'll say, give me patience later on. Because God says through James, count it all joy when you fall into manifold or many-faceted trials and tribulations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, and that's all I heard. I know it says yield, but I know the trying of your faith. That's how God purifies us. Trying of our faith. Getting the dross out. We have one of our members that had me laughing the other day saying that she was cooking some bacon. Her husband cooks it very well. He's an expert in bacon cooking. When she cooks the bacon for some reason, she can cook everything else but just the bacon. It just kind of get well done on this piece and middle done right here and kind of sort of done here, and it's just all over the place. And her reason was is that bacon has water in it. That's why it doesn't cook so well. Our heart is not pure because it has imperfections in it. And it takes God Almighty to cook the bacon evenly. And the only way he can do that is through trials and tribulations. You want to know the difference between a dead sacrifice and a live sacrifice on the altar? A dead sacrifice, when you put it on that hot altar, it just stays there. And it's consumed or burned unto God. It's a wonderful sacrifice. But you know, Romans 12 says you and I are living sacrifices. You know, when you put a living sacrifice on a hot altar, it wants to get off. You and I, we cry out to God and we say, Father, take this trial from me. Take this burden off my back. Take this challenge out of my life. And little do we realize that it's quite probable that through that trial, God is purifying your heart. Do you want a pure heart? Do you want a pure heart? Oh, the blessedness of the one that has a pure heart. Let me tell you a little bit about the dynamics of a pure heart. It has to be developed, first of all, but there is a certain dynamic that goes with a pure heart. I'm enthralled with what our brother Isaiah says in Isaiah 59 and verse number 2. Because we enter this concept of seeing God. Isaiah says, God's face is hid from us. We can't see God because of our sins and our iniquities. David writes in Psalm 15. In fact, if you have that, let's just flip over there. We lost an hour already. We ain't nowhere to go, right? Let's just enjoy it. In Psalm 15, look at verse number 12. Our brother writes here with this idea of understanding who shall go into his presence. In Psalm 15, I'm sorry, look at verse number 2. Verse number 1, actually. Who shall abide in his tabernacle? Do you have 12 verses in that psalm? I don't either, so let's just go with verse 1. It's 1 through 2, and that's the 12, okay. We're talking about a dynamic here. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, he that worketh righteousness, he that speaketh the truth in his heart. You want to know the dynamics of a pure heart. It's activity. It's not a place that we reach and we put it on cruise control. It's ongoing. It's an effort that you and I are involved in. In Psalm 24, the same concept is there. In Psalm 24, again, this idea of the dynamics of a pure heart. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. The dynamics of a pure heart, it is an ongoing activity. It is not the religion that is brought about because of our hands, because that's when we're leaning on our works. It is not the religion that is about our head, because that can easily become the religion of our creeds and our testimonies. But it is the religion of this new heart that God gives us, a pure, unadulterated heart. Because out of the heart comes all kinds of things, even the capacity to see God Almighty, the dynamics of a pure heart. Do you want a pure heart? Can you understand the concept of this pure heart is constantly moving and constantly reaching toward God? Blessedness, abiding, ascending, standing, all of these are the dynamics, if you will. Once that heart has been developed, the dynamic must kick in, and we must continue to walk toward God with this pure heart. And now the last point. Not only we develop this pure heart, not only is there a dynamic involved in this pure heart, but the last part of verse number 8 is a challenge to me. And that challenge is, in my Bible, I don't know about you, because you don't have 12 chapters in verse 15, okay, so you might not have this in your Bible. But in my Bible, in the last part of verse number 8, you know what it says? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And before you get too quick on the draw to think that this is just in eternity, I want to challenge your thought here a little bit. I think in the Beatitudes, you have a present blessing and future possibilities. You have a present experience with a future blessing. You have a present experience with a future blessing. Every one of the Beatitudes, we enjoy some aspect of it right now. But ultimately, it's in the afterlife that we'll enjoy the full benefit. Let's see if this case holds. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do we have any that are poor in spirit? Do you have a blessing right now? Are you in the kingdom of heaven right now? We call it the church. We're translated into the kingdom of his dear son. But you and I both know that this church, this body, this community of which we are part now is just a taste of what is going to be later on. The beauty of having our sin remitted and washed away, is just a foretaste. Us coming together and worshiping God is just a foretaste of what it's going to be like when Gabriel wears back and blows his horn, and we'll live in the presence of God all through eternity. Can you see that? Are we blessed now? And are we looking for the same blessing in full fruition later on? I think the answer is yes. Well, what else is here? Not only the poor in spirit, but how about they that mourn? Are you sorrowful for your sin? Do you look in your life and you just ask God to please forgive me? Are you sorrowful for the mistakes and the hurt and the pain that you've caused and you mourn? Do you get a little comforted from time to time? Does somebody pat you on the back and say, you know, I've known you for years and I'm so grateful that God has blessed you. You're such an inspiration to me. We get some comfort right here. But I tell you, the comfort that we get right now is just an appetizer to when we sit by the very throne of God and have eternal comfort, never to be taken away. Throughout all ages, comfort by God. Wow. How about the meek? Oh, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Have you received something that you really wasn't justified to have because you're striving for meekness? Did you get the promotion that you knew you weren't qualified for, but you got it anyway? I remember my mom years ago, we lived out on a farm and we had two dogs, and they were pretty tough dogs, and they corralled a rabbit. And all of a sudden, they got to fighting over the rabbit. And they were fighting. I mean, they're literally fighting. And so my mom, being Solomon in her thought process, she thought, when I just cut the rabbit in half and give each one half, that wasn't good enough. They wanted the whole rabbit and didn't want the other one to have. So sometimes, you know, while they're fighting, the other dog that wasn't as tough as the rest of them, he's over there eating the rabbit, you know. That's the way the meek is. All of this stuff everybody's fighting over, you and I, we just sit back and enjoy it. I'm told today that, you know, a lot of the wonderful dishes that we have, like all the different parts of the hog and the cow and all of that, it used to not be the really desired. The poor folks used to get it. We just sat back and ate all the fine stuff, and then all of a sudden the rich folks said, wait a minute. These folks are like they're enjoying those chitterlings and all of that stuff, and so we need to do something about that. Do you get a little unwarranted blessing, inheritance in this life right now? Can you imagine what it's going to be like when the new heavens and the new earth is going to be a place where we dwell? Oh, the blessedness here and there. How about not only the meek? How about hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Are you hungry? You want something to eat? It is so wonderful every now and then we have a little taste of righteousness. Every now and then we see an experience of righteousness. Every now and then I have the strength to stand up and be righteous. And it feels good. But sometimes it just whets my appetite. But in the then, oh, there'll be righteousness all throughout heaven itself. You might have to search out righteousness to chew on it here, like finding some good Mexican food, you know. You have to maybe search around a while. Maybe not so much in Texas, but if you go out of Texas, it's going to be kind of hard. But there, every street will have a tree that we can eat righteousness from. The streets, the walls, righteousness is going to be all around us. So just nibble right now, because we're going to have a full 5-course meal once we get over there. Oh, how about mercy? You and I, we dispense some mercy. We grant each other mercy. But our mercy that we give and that we receive in this life is just a sampling of the mercy that you and I are going to receive when we stand before the great I Am. Oh, we get it now, and we get a taste of it now. But ultimately, oh, mercy, we will receive mercy when we stand before Him. Won't that be wonderful? Now, you agree with all of that, but how about the next one? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Have you seen God lately? David, in Psalm 19, he saw the glory of God. The heavens declare His glory. Moses saw the hinder part of God. Stephen, in Acts 7, 56, when he's being stoned, looks up into heaven and sees God, and he sees Jesus standing at His right hand. You and I, in the spiritual mind, can see God. Let me share a passage with you, and it's something to meditate on. Look at Romans chapter 1. Paul writes this to the Roman brethren 2,000 years ago. Paul says, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead or divinity, so that they are without excuse. You know what Paul just said? Looking at what God has made, we can see His power. We can see His divinity. Wow. Wow. I told that a fellow, I think it was Richard Rogers, that said, went out to the Grand Canyon. He was an atheist, didn't believe in God. So he goes out to the Grand Canyon, and he was there with someone of faith. And they knew he didn't believe in God, and they said, well, you know, how can you explain this Grand Canyon? And the guy said, well, you know, I don't know, but I can tell you this, something happened here. We look around, and we see the grandeur of our world. We experience the love of someone. Have you not seen God? Had a wedding yesterday, and a young lady from China, she made a wonderful statement. She says, you know, I said, what is it like being in Texas? And she said, you know, there are blue skies here. And I'm going, it is? And the wedding was outside, and sure enough, she pointed up at the sky, and I looked up, and I'd be doggone, it is blue. What her point was, where she comes from in China, a lot of people, a lot of smog. You can't see the sky. But she was able to appreciate the beauty of a blue sky on the Texas sky. She saw God, the handiwork of God, the handiwork of God. John, 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3, I'm coming for a landing on this. Listen to our brother John. We're talking about the destiny of the pure in heart. We developed it. We understand the dynamics of it. And now we look at the destiny of the pure heart. John, what do you have for us in John chapter 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. One translation says, and such we are. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons or the children of God, and it doth not yet appear, was not yet made manifest, what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. John says, let me tell you something. We are now the children of God. Oh, but that pales in comparison to what we shall be. We're going to be just like Him. Right now we see God. We see God in the wonderfulness, the capacity to change lives. Have you seen God work? You take someone who is just entrenched in sin and degradation, and you share the wonderful word with them, and all of a sudden, you see a reflection of God in this person. Have you seen God lately? So we see this idea, the possibility, if you will, of how with that pure heart, we can actually look and see God Almighty. How is your spiritual eyesight? Some of us are so engrossed in the physical that we can't lift our eyes and see the spiritual. Are you here this morning? Wanting that pure heart, free from dross. I know you might be saving your pennies and your nickels to buy that diamond gold ring. But take it from someone who's been there, done that. Get the real one. The heart that you and I have now is the heart that you and I have manufactured. And it has impurities in it. It has imperfections in it. But allow God to purify that heart and allow him to bring you to a point that we can actually see him, see his grandeur. One of the things that is really wonderful when you hang around old people, especially those old folk that maybe are losing their physical sight, sometimes their spiritual insight is improved. Oh, they talk about the days of old. They talk about the hope of the future, and you're looking, and you can't see a thing. Oh, but they look down the road, and they say, the Lord is my helper, and they can see the Lord. And in fact, I'm told, Jim McGuigan said one time he was in a graveyard in Ireland someplace. He said, on this tombstone, it had up in the corner, John, and at the bottom it had, yes, Lord. And on one, he said, it had gone away with a friend. Can you see God? Can you see God in your life? Can somebody else see God in you? Can somebody see the reflective image of God in you? When Jesus walked on this earth, you know what people would say? Behold, the Lamb of God. Jesus would say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Can we lift up our physical eyes and look through our spiritual eyes and see God Almighty? Isn't he beautiful? Isn't he one to be adored? Isn't he one to be loved? Isn't he one to be imitated? Isn't he one to be served? You can just go on and on and on, because we can see God out of a pure heart. The only way we can get that pure heart is submitting ourselves to his will. Hear the wonderful news, how he loves us so much. Loved us beyond measure. Hear the wonderful news. Believe it. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So now we hear the gospel, we believe it, we repent of our sins. We do that about faith, working on developing a pure heart. Confess the great name, yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we go down trusting in this God. In the watery grave, allow his precious blood to wash all of our sins away. When we come up, oh, we can see all your sins are gone. Oh, he still looks like he used to. No, he doesn't. Put on those spiritual spectacles. I see a justified soul. I see a child of God. I see someone that Jesus died for. I see someone that Jesus is going to come back and get. I look hard enough, I can see the image of Jesus in every one of us. Amen. Through the eyes of faith. Can you see God? If you can't, I think the heart needs to be purified. You need to become a child of God this morning. You need to render submission to him that he might take you into his home, into his kingdom, into his church, that you and I will spend eternity with him. Eternity is a long, long time. The blessings we get here, they are nice, but they pale in comparison to being with him forever. Don't mean to minimize them, because this is the best we can do right now. But ultimately, we have the presence of God throughout all ages, and we can see him. We can see God. If you're here this morning, subject to heaven's invitation, in any way, won't you please come, where we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
my spirit, Lord, I need restore. Lord, you know that my heart is weary. Please help me, dear Lord, and I stand in need of more strength from your word. Renew my love. Restore my soul and revive the fire, Lord. Deep in my soul, won't you please, Lord, stir my desire to work in your fold and lighten my heart, dear God. Will your zeal grown cold renew my love, my faith, restore my soul.